It is the final authority for everything in my life. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. On this day, I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same again. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever living seed of the Word of God. This all empowering Word will work in my life and through my circumstances, and it shall forever be unto me a fountain of life. And I shall never, never thirst again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Psalm 62 together. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies, with their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing together. They are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong. And that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. The King James says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Hallelujah. Look at somebody saying, God, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In God, I shall not be moved, because the Lord is my hope and the Lord is my strength and the Lord is my salvation. We are at this very hour in our nation and in our world. We are in a time of unrest and civil distress. There is much going on in our midst. And there are many people who are seeking equality and seeking justice and seeking to be heard because of a myriad of grievances. And it seems as though those who have the power, have the resources, are not listening to those who appear to be of low estate or unimportant. It is shameful that we as humanity have throughout the course of history done so much to harm one another. If you look throughout the history, the historical context of humankind, you will see that we have been, in many respects, our greatest enemy. And I know that we do a lot of blaming against the devil, but truly the devil has no power over us that we don't give to him. And the devil can't make you do anything. The things that we do are born out of a heart of iniquity and rebellion and rejection of the ways of God. So certainly we are living in perilous times. We're living in times where people do as they please. As it relates to the number of persons living on the earth, few of us truly love the Lord. Let me say this, even in our churches, now, if we are honest and we account love of God by what it is we do and how it is we serve and how it is we treat one another, we even in the church might very well come up short when we look at the definition of love and compare it to how it is that we live and what it is that we do. We could do a better job loving one another. Come on, somebody. We could do a better job caring for one another. We could do a much better job being kind to one another. Unfortunately, so many of us just aren't kind to one another. Let me say it in a more simplistic way. We just aren't very nice. Come on, somebody. We're living in a world that's not very nice. And I think that God allows for certain circumstances to come about that might be good training ground, good teaching opportunities for us to truly see how wicked we have become. I think that God has a way of exposing us that we might see who we truly are and know whether or not we truly love God the way that we say that we do and we love one another the way that we say that we do. It's easy to love somebody that you don't ever have to do anything for. It's easy to love somebody that don't ever get on your nerves. It's easy to love somebody that doesn't have any expectation of you. But whenever it is that we are challenged to love, because maybe we're dealing with somebody that doesn't look like us, or somebody that doesn't come from our same area of town, or somebody that doesn't talk like us, or don't have the same dialect as we do, or have not achieved the same social status that we have, then our ability to love and our ability to be kind and our ability to be caring and gentle and willing to serve is challenged. And the question is asked, are we truly who God intends for us to be, and are we fulfilling our assignment in the earth? You do know that you have an assignment in the earth. Come on, somebody. God has given all of us an assignment. What is your assignment? Well, let me give you some word of doctrine. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is your chief assignment. And you ought to find ways to carry out that assignment, to make it who you are in your life, to make it your goal to achieve the purpose for which God has created you. And at times, as we are trying to find our way and as we are trying to make it to our destination, as we are traveling this road, this journey to God and to our final destination, No doubt we have difficulties, we have challenges, we have struggles, and we have enemies that at times stand up against us. We have issues that confront us that we can't just simply stay on the sidelines. I had somebody message me the other day concerning some of the things that are going on in our country right now. And this person messaged me and said, stay out of it. Don't comment it. Don't comment on it. Don't get involved in it. Just be silent. Just talk about Jesus. And that's all you need to talk about. And my response was, I love talking about Jesus. If anybody been around me anytime know that I do a whole lot of talking about Jesus. But we live in a real world with real issues and real circumstances and real troubles. And it would be unwise, unintelligent, and even a failure to serve humanity if at times we don't engage ourselves even in the political things that are going on. You can't simply see a whole category of people being mistreated and think that all you're going to do is thumb through the Bible and have good Sunday school and Bible study, but never deal with the person that is being harmed. A lot of folk who are in the church, especially in our Caucasian churches around this country, stood on the sidelines doing civil rights and talked about Jesus and talked about how the Lord loved folk and saw segregation rampant in our country. You can't simply sit there and talk about Jesus when at the same time you see somebody being mistreated. Sometimes you got to get in the midst of it and declare that Jesus don't like this behavior either. Are y'all with me? Sometimes you got to involve yourself in it. Many years ago, there was somebody who had said to a person that was involved in the civil rights movement, said that I don't want to make any noise. I don't want folk to bother me. I want to stay out of it. I don't want to get caught up in the mess. So don't bring it to me. This was a black person talking. And the response was, if you were born black in America, you don't have to worry about getting caught up in the mess. You were born into the mess. Are y'all with me? Listen, there are some things. Listen, if we are a praying church and we have to be engaged in fighting the enemy, the adversary, you don't have to worry about, look, I'm not involved. The fact that you are a believer, the fact that you are a Christian, the fact that God called you to care about somebody and to see that justice was done around you means that you are already involved. The question is, did Jesus get involved? And we can look throughout the Bible and we can see that Jesus got involved in the circumstances of his day. Whether it was going into the church, turning over the tables of the money changers, or confronting the Sadducees and the religious rulers in that day in the street or in the church, Jesus was involved. And it's good to be involved in the church, but sometimes you got to get in the street. Y'all listening to me today? But even when you go into the street, understand that God is your hope. God is your strength. God is your rock. Never put your hope in a political movement. Your hope is always in God. Are y'all with me? Never put your faith in man. Your faith should always be in Jesus. Your faith should always be in God. The reason why I am able to stand is because I stand in him. The reason why I am strong is because he has given me strength. And so the psalmist who was going through some challenging times, David, who has seen all types of situations in his life and had dealt with all types of adversary and enemies and all types of things that would confront his walk in God, David sat down and penned these words, and he said In the King James, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, or my soul finds rest in God. What David was saying was, is that when life all around me seems to be at its worst, and things seem to be out of order, and you can't really find a place of sanity, are y'all with me, or a place of peace, or a place where there is no unrest. Sometimes your dark can become so dark that it just seems like you can't see your way. Sometimes your low can become so low that it looks like you're never gonna get back up and get back out. And those who were with you left you. Those who you depended upon didn't stay with you. And sometimes it can appear that there is never going to be a place of peace or a place of rest. But David said, my soul waits upon the Lord. In other words, I will not be moved unless I move in God. I'm not going to allow myself to be troubled. I'm not going to allow myself to be at unrest, but I find rest in my relationship with God. In other words, David knew how to tap into something that allowed him to keep his sanity when everything around him was out of order. David learned how to tap into something that allowed him to keep his peace when unrest was all around him. David learned how to tap into God. And I want to share with you today that I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the difficulty is. I don't know what the challenge is. But don't allow your circumstances to so engulf you that you feel like there is no way out. Don't be caught up in the circle of your circumstances. And when things around you begin to seem crazy and go crazy, you don't have to go crazy with them, because your hope is in God. Your peace is in God. Your joy is in God. And as long as God ain't moved, you ought not be moved either. Amen. That's what David was saying. And he said, it is in God alone, not God plus. Because some folk are hoping that other people make them happy. First of all, it's nobody's assignment to make you happy. Come on, somebody. Folk, listen. Many people that we are hoping to make us happy ain't concerned with making us happy. And in fact, some of them aren't happy themselves. They can't make you happy because they are not happy. You better choose how to be happy yourself. Listen, you ought to find ways to make your own self happy. If it's no more than going to Baskin and Robbins and getting you your own ice cream, you ought to find a way to make yourself happy. If it's no more than taking a walk around the park by yourself, you ought to find a way to make yourself happy. If it's no more than singing a little song that brings you joy, you ought to find ways to make your own self happy. David said, my soul rests in God alone. I ain't waiting for nobody to give me rest. I ain't waiting for nobody to make me feel good. I ain't even waiting for you to sing my favorite song. I'll bring up a melody in my own heart and make my own self happy in Jesus. This is what David is saying. He's talking really about, listen, being strong. Because weak folk go crazy when the circumstances around them become crazy. Let me say something to you. If every time the wind blows, you blow with the wind, there's something wrong. Are you with me? If every time folk begin to talk about you and gossip about you, you get all stressed out and depressed and feel sad and sorry about yourself, something is wrong. Some folk are so caught up in what other folks think that if somebody looks at you the wrong way, it messes up your whole day. Come on, somebody. Oh, they didn't look at me right, or they frowned at me, or they were laughing at me. I don't care if you're laughing at me. Laugh yourself into your own joy. I don't care. But if you're talking about me, I don't even care about that, because I can't help what you're saying about me. Are y'all with me? Some folk are too caught up in what other folk think about you. I hope that folk think good things about me, and I hope that people say nice things about me. I don't want folk to say negative things. I don't want folk to think badly about me. But at the same time, I'm not going to lose any rest in what you think about me, because my rest is in Christ Jesus. My soul waiteth upon the Lord. That's what David is saying. But not only is he saying that, he says, my salvation comes from God. Now, when you understand that, you got it. Because what David is trying to get you to see is that my deliverance is from God anyway. I was shackled and you couldn't unshackle me. I was in bondage and couldn't get myself out. I had trouble and could not save myself. But God deliver me. Somebody shout, but God. But God delivered me. God cared enough to come and check up on me. God cared enough to see how I was doing. When I think about the children of Israel, they were in Egypt in bondage. I want you to hear this. For 400 years, they were crying out. For 400 years. And their children were dying for 400 years. And their loved ones were being enslaved for 400 years. And nobody came to check up on them. Nobody came to see about them. Nobody came to deliver them. But the Bible says, and God said, I have heard your cry. And God sent somebody to bring them out. God sent somebody to deliver them, because God heard their cry. In other words, their salvation came from God. And I want you to hear this right now. Nobody else could deliver them. Nobody else could set them free. Nobody else could bring them out. But when God got ready to bring them out, nobody could keep them there. The Pharaoh could not keep them in bondage when God said to release them. The Pharaoh could not keep them in captivity when God said, I'm setting them free. What am I trying to say to you today? When God saves you, no devil in hell can put you in bondage. Amen. No devil can put you in hell. No devil can shackle you when God saves you. Because God is the only one who can save. And God can save to the uttermost. God can bring you out from your lower state. God can bring you out from rock bottom. God can bring you out of the worst situations and the worst circumstances. And God alone can save you. And when God saves you, you ought to give him some glory. Amen. When God saves you, you ought to give him some praise. When God saves you, you ought to declare that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. Listen, God will save you such that you know that you could not do it and nobody else could do it for you either. That's what David is saying. David is saying salvation comes from God. David is speaking to us today. This was written a long time ago, but he's speaking to us today who are looking for the authorities to set us free, who are looking for the man to give us freedom and liberty, who's looking for, listen, somebody to give us a job that we might get money so that we can make it. David is saying, I want to let you know today that money has its place, and I want to let you know today that political, listen, correctness has its place. But David is shouting out to us today, don't forget that salvation comes from God. That's what David is saying. When you get caught up in, I need a better job. When you get caught up in, I need more friends. When you get caught up in, I need more folk to follow me. When you get caught up in, I need this situation to go this way. And I need this thing to change in my life. David is saying, don't forget that salvation comes from God. Not only does salvation come from God, but in reality, God is your only rock.
Amen.
David said, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. To be your rock means that God is really your only stabilizer. Amen. God is really the only thing that's keeping you sane. Come on, somebody. God is really the only thing that's keeping you going. Are y'all with me? God is your sure foundation. God is the cornerstone of your life. God, listen, maybe I say it in a way that you understand it in terms of biology. God is your backbone. Yep. The Lord is your backbone. David said, he is my only rock. He is my fortress. God is the one that I need. God is the one. Listen, church. God is the one that you cannot do without. Are you listening to me? You can lose your job and get another one. You can go broke and then get more money. Folk can walk out on you. Somebody else can walk right back. Listen, the moment one person walk out, somebody else can be walking right in. Come on now. Beyonce taught y'all that, didn't she? Y'all gonna get that in a second. She told you he'll be here in a minute, y'all. God alone is the one you cannot do without. It amazes me how quickly it is we put God aside in our lives. We have time for everything. We have time for the parties. We have time for the outings. We have time for the shows. We have time for shopping. We have time for everything. But when it comes to God's agenda, we cross him out quickly. And he is the one that we cannot do without. Don't forget, I know we're in the Christmas season. Don't forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't cross Christ out of Christmas. Y'all with me? I even see some folk, instead of saying Christmas, they got Xmas. They just cross Christ right out of Christmas. We get so happy about what's under the tree that we have forgotten about who hung on the tree. We forgot that Christ is the reason. David is saying, I will not forget my God. He is what I need. He is who is protecting me. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower. David even says that he is my defense. I don't care how much offense you got. If you ain't got no defense, you still in trouble. David said, I will never be shaken. See, where I want to go in my life and where I want to stay and be is at a point in life where I won't be shaken and I won't be moved. Because I'm so founded in Christ Jesus. Listen, watch this. We could all separate, and I never see you for 10 or 15 years, but when I do see you, I should still see Christ in your life. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. And all you be sharing with me is what the Lord has been doing over the course of the year that I have not seen you, how you've been growing in Christ Jesus. You ought to still be in church somewhere. If you ain't in this church, if we were to listen, if God was to separate us and spread us all throughout this country, I'd have find you somewhere in church. I'd have find you somewhere serving the Lord. I'd have find you somewhere still depending upon Jesus. I'd have find you somewhere still praising God and shouting forth the victory in the name of Jesus, because he is your rock. Some folk lose their job and then they lose their relationship with Christ. If you lose your relationship with Christ because you lost your job, you never had a relationship with Christ. If you get a divorce even, if somebody walk out of your life and you lose your relationship with Christ, you never really had a relationship with Christ. Some of us need to examine who it is we really depend upon. So David was able to say in verse 5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone, for my hope comes from him." The King James says, "My expectation is from God." Now I want you to hear this. Because I put all of my hope in God, because all my strength is in God, my expectation is from God. Stop expecting everybody else to do everything for you. Just because somebody tells you no doesn't mean that the answer is in fact no. If God tells you yes, and somebody tells you no, understand that they weren't the ones who had the authority to give it to you anyway, to do it for you anyway. Because whenever God speaks something into your spirit, whenever God gives you a dream, whenever God gives you a vision, it shall always come to pass. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. Sometimes it can look its worst before the tide changes and everything begins to work in your favor. Maybe 2014 wasn't the year for you. At least that's what the devil told you. Maybe it don't look like what you had expected. Maybe things don't add up like you want them to add up. But I got a question for you. Is your hope and your expectation still in God? Because if your expectation is still in God, you still have hope. If your expectation is still in God, you can still make it. If your expectation is still in God, it doesn't matter how bad it looks, you can still win. So David is saying, David had a lot of trouble, but he said, my expectation is in God. I expect God to do something. Listen, the children of Israel should have expected that God would never leave them forever in captivity.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Amen. The devil can't hold me down forever. Are y'all with me? He's going to have to let me up sooner or later. I've looked over the course of my life. The question was asked, look back at your life, maybe when you were 15, 16. Y'all remember that question this morning? And see where God has brought you from. Some folk were so bad off when they were young. Come on, somebody. Some people didn't have anything. Didn't have air conditioning. Come on, somebody. Didn't have food on the table. Only clothes you had were the clothes your brothers and sisters gave to you, passed down to you. Come on, somebody. Didn't have anything. Two or three kids sleeping in the same room in the same bed. Some folk came up hard. But you can look back over your life and see how God has blessed you. But let me share something with you. God ain't through with you yet. And the best is yet to come. Your expectation is in God. And God said, God said, what you happy about? God said, I got something even better to show you than that. I'm never going to stop trusting in God. I'm never going to stop believing in God. I don't care who stops believing in God. I'm going to keep on believing in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Listen, I'm going to trust in God come what may. No matter who leaves, I'm going to trust in God, because God is the one that spoke the word in the first place. Are y'all with me? God is the one that gave you the word in the first place. And so if God gave you a word, hold on to the word that God gave you. And God said, I'll bring it to pass. Sometimes you look bad holding on to the word that God gave you. Sometimes folk laugh at you when you hold on to the word that God gave you. But David said in verse 7, he said, my honor depends on God. My glory is in God. What is he saying? He's saying, look, when you trust in God, God at the right time and the appointed time will bless you such that folk gonna have to shut their mouth and say, listen, shut their mouth against you and say, listen, look at what God has done. They can't deny what God has done in your life. Stop trying to get honor in the world. Stop trying to let the world glorify you. Because, listen, the world has a way of once you get up on a pedestal, if the world puts you up on a pedestal, the world is looking for a way to knock you down. I don't care who you are. I don't know whether or not, watch this, I don't know whether or not Bill Cosby did everything they said he did. But I do know this, there are a whole lot of folk want to knock him down off that pedestal. Come on, somebody. I don't know if Michael Jackson ever did what he was accused of doing. But there are a whole lot of folk who are wanting to knock him down off of that pedestal. It don't matter who you are, if the world puts you up, the world is going to look for a way to knock you down. But when God puts you up, when God exalts you, when God blesses you, can't no devil in hell pull you down. Come on, somebody. So David just came to this conclusion in verse 8. He says, trust in God at all times. He says, in God will I trust at all times. There's never going to be a time that I'm ever going to trust in anything without trusting in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And the Bible says, and God will direct your path. How do you trust in God? Look at what David said. He says, pour out your hearts to God. Sometimes you got to be willing just to take your troubles to God. Take it to the Lord. I found that there's some people I try to go talk to, they can't help me at all. I try to go get answers, they don't have any answers. They don't say anything that's comforting. They don't say anything that's encouraging. But when you take it to the Lord in prayer, when you cry out to God, God always hears you when you cry. Put your refuge in God. And David said, I've heard it that the power belongs to the Lord. The power has never been with your enemy. The power has always been in God. What's another way of saying that? That the authority has always been in Christ Jesus. I want to share something with you. Go very quickly to the book of Psalms. You're in the book of Psalms. Go to chapter 37. I'm going to show you this and then we're going to leave for today. Psalms 37. Praise the Lord. Beginning there in verse 34. And this is for anybody who's dealing with folk in your life or situations in your life where it looks like people got the upper hand and it looks like you on the losing side. This is what the word of the Lord says. This is what David said. He says, wait for the Lord and keep his way. Psalms 37 and 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a tree in his native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. The King James says, mark the perfect man. He says, observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Don't tell me that taking refuge in him, hallelujah, refuge in Christ Jesus is not a winning position. You ought to take refuge in your relationship with God. You are to hide behind. Somebody told me some years ago, he said, you always hide behind Jesus. And my pride got ready to jump out and say, no, I'm not. Then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord hit me and I said, yes, I am. I'm hiding in Jesus. I'm hiding behind the Lord. Listen, I'm not even saying peekaboo. I'm behind him, hiding behind him. And listen, if you can get through him, then you can get to me. But guess what, devil? You can't get through the God that I serve, because the God that I serve is a strong tower. The God that I serve is a mighty God. He is a refuge to those in trouble. He saves the upright. God delivers those who are in captivity. He's still a mighty God. You are standing on your feet and give God some praise today. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's worthy of our praises. Hallelujah. I will not be moved in Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he is my strength. He is my refuge. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise this day. We bless his name. Hallelujah. If you're standing today in the need of prayer, the Lord is here. Come to the altar. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. If you want to stand in the gap for somebody else, if you want to stand in the gap for our young people in our communities that got to deal with all of the trouble, you want to stand in the gap for those who are protesting all over this country right now, hallelujah, come on down to the altar. Praise the Lord. This is the time to come and to pray and to put it in the hands of the Lord. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. All the men of the church. Amen. Brother Josh, stay where you are. I get to you. But all the men of the church, come on down to the altar. Amen. Come down to the altar. Amen. The enemy wants to destroy, hallelujah, the men. He wants to destroy the men. The Bible said that we should crush the devil's head and he should bruise our heel. But guess what? In Jesus, we got the victory. Amen. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord. Anybody else need to come to the altar? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Men, I want you to stand, hallelujah, behind the Lord Jesus. Take refuge in him. Trust in God. Trust in God. Men, people in general, but men especially, need to be strong. You need to be strong. You need to be stable. Don't no woman want no man that can't be stable. Come on now. It's weak and can't stand. And every time the wind blows, he blows with the wind. Well, that's no man. Men can't do that. They can't be that way. Hallelujah. Amen. So we want to pray. Hallelujah. For you. Pray over your temperament. Pray over your life. The enemy is looking for ways to destroy you. Come on, he's looking for ways to destroy you, to destroy us. Amen. And we pray today, hallelujah, the prayer of God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be condemned. Hallelujah. Break every chain, Brother Josh. There's power. Every chain.
Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Let everybody say amen.